This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
This is a car show for enthusiasts, by enthusiasts, but we also deliver some news. So whether you're an enthusiast or not, when it comes to the auto industry, it is the weekend. At least that's when this show airs across America. We're going to tell you all about the fun stuff and the interesting, and even when it comes to the electric cars, of which I'm not a big fan of, as everybody knows, but it doesn't matter. It's all part of the news that is part of the industry. And when I hear that, like, the Tesla Ludicrous goes 0 to 60 in like 2.3 seconds, and I think, hey, that's what my Demon does, I think, well, that would be a fun and interesting race. I know that I'm going to like the sound of my car much better than the zero sound of an electric car, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, today's guest, George Kennedy III, freelance automotive journalist. You can see and hear him on videos and written word and cargurus.com, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, and many others. George, what is going on in your world today?
I am jacked up to talk about Motor Mouth. It's a live storytelling event that happens at the Lars Anderson Museum in Boston, but it's going to be recorded so that everybody can listen to it after the event.
The Lars Anderson Museum, I have no idea what that is. Tell a little bit more about that.
So Lars Anderson Museum is this awesome little hidden gem. It's in Brookline, technically, Brookline, Massachusetts, just outside Boston. And, you know, throughout the summer, they do a lot of car shows. But throughout the winter, to get people coming in, they put on a lot of storytelling events, sort of in the guise of, like, the Moth. And this one coming up on March 8th is Woman's Motor Mouth. All standout female personalities in the automotive space. It's going to be headlined by Dawn Hayes, who, if you grew up in the Boston area, has been a spokesperson for the Mass State Lottery and does some stuff for Auto Trader. And she's also the first female African-American motorcycle safety instructor in the country. And then she'll be joined by Louise Ann Noet, who is Land Speed Louise. She races, you know, 250-mile-an-hour jet dragsters, and then has turned some stuff to the New York Times and Sports Illustrated. And then, of course, Jody Perowitz, who is the fastest woman on an American motorcycle. So a really cool lineup of speakers, all with some really great stories about their careers.
So I'm just a little bit curious about the Lars Anderson Museum. I think I've heard of it. Where is it located, so that for folks that listening around the country, where can they find it?
Sure. So you can look up more information on larsanderson.org. It's located at 50 Newton Street in Brookline, Massachusetts. So, you know, it's about, you know, 5-10 minutes away from Boston. You can see the Boston skyline just from the property. It's a really cool facility. Lars Anderson, you know, if you want a little history lesson, was the U.S. ambassador to Japan in, like, the 1890s. Mm. And he and his wife were early car collectors, some of the first car collectors in the region. And so when he died, the widow took over the collection, and, you know, they started hosting lawn events. And throughout the year, their carriage house, which is styled after an old French chateau, it's essentially their garage, became a place where people would gather to experience new cars and whatnot. And then eventually it became an automotive museum.
Right. Cool. Well, I guess March 8th, did you say International or National Women's Day?
International Women's Day, March 8th. Tickets are $15 for members. Check out larsanderson.org for more information.
All right. Well, if you're an uptown girl, check it out. And if you're in the Boston area, go by and see them. Motor Mouth event. When we come back, we're going to hear from a real Motor Mouth, George Kennedy, about what? A plug-in hybrid BMW? Come on. I told you I don't like that stuff.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at thedrivewithalantaylor.com.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses.
That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Subaru Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And happy 50th anniversary to Subaru. George Kennedy III. George, I am not a hybrid or electric car guy. I am not. I'm a muscle head, a gearhead, a meathead. I don't know, whatever they call
it. I didn't
notice. Although, you know what? I know there's a place for it. I that's a little bit of a lie because I think hybrid vehicles are awesome. I would like to see, you know, more extended range electric vehicles like the Chevy Volt, which has an onboard generator. So the engine is there, and it's an onboard generator that is there just to charge the batteries. But on a recent show, I was talking to, I don't know, I think it was Lauren Fix or somebody that was on the show, and she says that the battery for a Chevy Volt is like $15,000 if you have to replace one. Holy crap, holy.
Jeez.
Right?
Yeah,
so you better buy the extended warranty, you know?
Right. Well, that's going to be one of the tough things going forward is until some of these cars have reached, longer ages, we're not going to know what their long-term liability is until it's been actually lived out.
Right.
That's why you see some cars like the new Mitsubishi Outlander PHEV. They're offering a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty for the powertrain, but also the battery, because they want to offer peace of mind to folks.
Well, you know what it is? Subaru just announced this new subscription model that they have, which means that you can buy a car like on a subscription, just like you buy your phone, you might say, to where you pay payments on it for 24 months. And at the end of 12 months, you can actually opt to buy a brand new car, give them back your old one because it's a subscription. You give them back the old one. They give you a brand new car, but you start your 24 months over again. And that includes the insurance and the oil changes and everything because all you're doing is paying a subscription. So it's $600 a month for the XC40. And $700 for like the fully loaded XC40 with a bigger engine. So you can pick your car. A lot of companies, a lot of the car companies are offering subscription models. Now, Cadillac doing a similar one. I know some of the other car makers are getting into this too. I think you're going to see more and more of that to where all you do is pay one price and you don't mess with nothing. So you never have to deal with this crap. It's on them. Go ahead.
I think that's smart because, you know, you think of the way that people buy everything else and, you know, think of the value proposition of purchasing a new car and how, unless it's something super rare or with a bit of provenance, there's a little chance that the car is actually going to increase in value over the life of it.
Right.
So if you are interested in owning a newer car and want something that is, you know, that peace of mind argument again, the subscription thing sounds great.
Well, you know, and here's the deal. There's two ways of looking at it. There's people that are in business and entrepreneurs, because you guys all know that listen to my show, know that I also do a show for Entrepreneur Magazine. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur, kind of like a serial killer, but I just don't kill anybody. I just make killer deals. Anyway, the thing is that I am at the stage of my life now, because I remember hearing radio shows like this where people are like, you can buy this for $600. My house payment is $600. Of course, now that was 25 years ago. Today, I'm closing in on 60, George, right? So I now get it that you buy a car you want. How do I say this? I don't want to deal with the crap. I don't want to go to the service department. I don't want to go get the oil change. I don't want to have the brakes. I don't want to do it. I want to get a whole new car when I need brakes. You know, I'm like one of those kind of guys.
The minutia is just that.
Yeah, literally. I'm one of those kind of guys that now I will go trade the freaking thing in so that I don't have to do an oil change. But you know what? I can do it. I'm old enough. I have enough business now to be able to afford to do things that I only laughed at idiots for doing before. Well, I guess I'm that idiot now that, you know, I can afford to do it. So why not? But there's two ways of looking at it. There's the guys like me that wants to have a brand new thing, whatever it is, new truck, new car, new boat, new whatever. But there's also the younger version of me that loved the guys like me that didn't want to mess with it because at my earlier stage of life, I wanted to touch and feel and take apart everything and fix everything. I was the beginnings of what I've become, which is the guy that, you know, I mean, I literally would buy anything that needed something because it was a challenge. And that's how that was in my education days. You know what I mean? So this is good for everybody. My children, who are those guys that want to, you know, buy things that need fixing. And then there's the guys that are like me, the women and men both, that want a payment. And I want a payment to do everything for me. Roadside assistance. I mean, you know, I bought the Demon recently and I got a 96-month extended bumper-to-bumper warranty. I don't care what it cost. Whatever it was, yeah, it was a good deal because I know that if anything goes wrong, I'm going to take the car in and they're going to give me another one to loan so that I don't even have to think about anything. And they're going to fix whatever it is, and it's going to cost me a $100 deductible. I don't care if it's a new engine, which I hope to blow up my engine because, you know, I don't care at that point. You know what I mean? Anyway.
I think with cars, it's, you know, we can have fun with it, but, you know, there's a place for the car to tinker with. You know, I have an older Jeep that I like to mess with, but there's a place for the newer cars that are just, this car has to work no matter what.
Yeah.
And that peace of mind is such a huge component of the car buying process.
You know, it's funny. I hear myself telling you this stuff about me now, and I go, I hated people like me. I hated that mentality of the, you know, and this is the wrong word, the rich guy that could afford to do it. And I'm not the rich guy, but you know what? I'm at that point in my life. I get what I want, you know? And I'm not going to live forever. I'll take a little break. George, you got to talk at some point about this. God forbid, I mean, a plug-in hybrid 5 Series BMW? Oh, it hurts!
Craftsman is celebrating over 90 years of innovation. Since 1927, they've put hardworking tools into the hands of makers and mechanics. I've had Craftsman tools in my garage for decades, so I know firsthand that Craftsman comprehensive automotive tools and garage storage solutions will help you tackle your next project with confidence, whether you be a shade tree mechanic or a certified pro. So visit your local Ace Hardware or check out Craftsman.com to shop the latest hand tools, power tools, lawn and garden equipment, smart products, storage solutions, and a whole lot more. That's Craftsman.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, and our show is brought to you in part by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. And guess what? That is pretty darn important. And I'm very blessed to have my Dream 100 sponsors, you might say. And in life, you have the dream, you know, business, the dream business people. You have dream friends, you have a dream wife, you have dream children, the dream house. I have been fortunate enough and blessed to have all these things. And George Kennedy's one of my dream friends. He's a good guy, honest man, working hard, hardworking, not so good looking, but, you know, there's nothing you can do about that, George.
Oh.
Anyway,
with you, man.
But I'm curious because I'm about to go to a racetrack called Thermal and drive all the new BMWs. Now, the 5 Series BMW for 2018, I've seen them. They're beautiful. The 5 Series is, you know, I would call it a mid-size car, but it's actually at this point almost a full-size car. But, you know,
it's grown for sure.
It's, yeah. You know, everything is grown. I remember when the Honda Accord was about as big as a Honda Civic is today, and now the Honda Accord is a big car. So everything keeps getting bigger and bigger. But this is what they call their, you know, mid-size sedan, the 5 Series, because there's a 7 Series, and there's a 3 Series, and there's a 4 Series, a 1 Series, whatever the series is. The point is, this is a car that is their meat and potatoes. They sell a lot of these, and now they offer it with the plug-in hybrid. You're driving it. What do you think?
I mean, I was pretty impressed by it. You know, with the 5 Series, even though it's an executive sedan, they call it, it's the performance is always implied with the BMW, no matter what model it is. And I know for some of the smaller crossovers and whatnot, they've kind of softened these cars out, but the 5 Series is always going to be a performer, so that level of expectation has to be carried over to a hybrid like the 530E. And in a lot of ways, it delivers, and it does so in a really smart way that goes above and beyond just being a hybrid below the skin. It's got some cool features that sort of make you engage with the car the way that you would an i8 or an i3.
Mm. So when you say plug-in hybrid, it's got an engine. So it's a hybrid vehicle, has 2 powertrains, you might say. This one's got an engine, and it's got a battery also. How many miles does it go on this initial battery before the engine starts up and starts, you know, to take you on down the road with gasoline?
It's short, I can tell you that much. I think it wasn't more than like 10 to 15 miles. So, you know, you plugged it in overnight, and it did its thing, and it was really cool to be able to go around the corner to, you know, pick up some groceries and not have the gas motor engage at all.
Right.
There's an Eco Pro mode that sort of forces it to use the battery first above anything else.
Right.
Then if you put on Sport mode, the two work together. It's a turbocharged 2-liter inline 4 that has about 180 horsepower. And then you factor in the 111 horsepower AC motor, and it makes a combined 248 horsepower, a combined 310 pound-feet of torque, which, for my money, 300 pound-feet of torque is a pretty good range in terms of getting decent power. And awesome thing about electric power is you get 100% of that torque at 0 RPM. So it's got a, you know, a very cool, silent whoosh to it when you accelerate in EV.
I'm sorry, a cool, silent whoosh. I want horsepower, you know, noise. I don't know, whoosh. I don't want whoosh.
Hey,
I want noise.
Not everything's going to be the Exxon Valdez like that demon, man.
I get 20 miles to the gallon. What are you talking about? But here's my question. So you get 10, 15, 20 miles out of the electric, and if you really, really pedaled it gently, you'd probably, you know, maybe if you were just on a highway and there was nothing going on, you might even get a little bit more miles. But it really boils down to how you push on that gas pedal, because every drop of electricity, if I can say it that way, depends on, you know, how long it's going to last. It depends on how hard you push on the gas. So
sure.
I think people that buy BMWs want something that's going to, when they push on the gas, go. They're going to feel that 300 and something pound feet of torque, whatever. Listen, most people buy horsepower. They feel and drive torque, right?
Right.
So,
right, absolutely.
The torque is what pushes you back in the seat and gives you that exhilarating feeling. And like mine has got, you know, I don't know, what is it? It's got 840 horsepower, 770 pound feet of torque. And that is scary, scary amounts of torque. And the feeling you get from this car, this one that I have, the Demon, with all that torque, is something that is indescribably delicious. So 300 pound-feet of torque plus is okay. But still, at the end of the day, they're wanting to drive a BMW. So it still has to handle, it still has to deliver on so many different things, because BMW cars are driver's cars. They literally are driving machines. What do they call? Their slogan is the ultimate driving machine. So here's a person buying this car that may live 10 miles from work. You know, 5 miles from work. And they want to be able to some days have go over there and get there on electricity. And the dollar per gallon equivalent of, you know, buying electricity for your vehicle actually makes it pretty economical. So they could perhaps be able to afford this 5 Series BMW by saving on fuel economy and stuff. I don't know. I'm wondering who buys these and how many they're selling and all that. Hey, do me a favor. Take one more segment with me, because I gotta take a break. Damn it. Such a topic of discussion for car guys. Maybe not for the average consumer, but man, this car has got to deliver on so many points. We're talking about the BMW 5 Series plug-in hybrid. We'll be right back. I feel nice. The
sugar and spice. Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, the question is, if you bought a BMW, if you could buy a brand new BMW, which I'm sure this one we're talking about with George Kennedy III is a good 50 grand. It's a 5 Series BMW plug-in hybrid, turbocharged 4-cylinder, which it's a pretty good-sized car. It's a plug-in hybrid. If you could buy a BMW, would you buy a plug-in hybrid? I think that depends on the part of the geography, the land that you live in. In other words, are you a city dweller? Are you somebody that likes to drive in the ultimate driving machine? I'm going to buy an M. I'm going to buy something that is full high performance. So, George, you're driving this thing. How much was the 5 Series plug-in hybrid?
This was $52,000.
Ooh, good guess.
$95.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right on. And then the xDrive all-wheel drive model is $54,695. You know, $52,000 to $55,000 range.
Wait a minute, they make a plug-in hybrid with all-wheel drive too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa, wow.
And I imagine that it's electric motors front and rear. Don't quote me on that.
No, I know. But, I mean, and that's a good question, really, because, again, I mean, the BMW driver, who is he or she? What are they trying to get
right
from that? The geography of where they live, I think, is really important. Are they in hill country? Are they in the mountains? Are they, you know, in the city? Is it a car that they drive very little, or is it a car they commute in? Are they on the 405 in Los Angeles or whatever your freeway is in Boston that's stop and go? That makes sense then if it's stop and go, right? Because, you know, then your hybrid, your electric motor is doing is it's much better because it's not taking any juice just sitting there. And, you know, not running, right?
No, it's a great question to ask is who is going to drive this car. And, you know, if you live out in the country, then maybe the pure gas models are great. But if you're living in a city, this car gets like 29-30 mpg in the city, and it gets 27-28 on the highway. Mm. It's combined as, I think, 34 mpg. So it's one of these cars. It's got the regenerative braking so that when you're going stop and go, it's capturing energy and building that up in the battery. It kind of makes sense if you're living in the city and you want to have something that's a bit of more of a spirited drive than like an average Prius.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder if the CAFE standards, which affect how many electric or hybrid type vehicles the automakers have to make, are pushing them to do things like this. Because I could understand on a 3 Series, a smaller car, having a hybrid like that. But it seems like they're making everything in hybrid. And Volvo, as you know, says by 2019, next year, that everything they make will in some way be electrified. I think Volvo's going that way because they like it. I don't think BMW so much likes it. I think they may be looking at, well, we have to build so many so we can build the big honking M, the performance division, the true M cars that BMW does, that us muscle gearhead type guys like over a hybrid. But I don't know. Again, it depends on who's buying it and what they want it to do.
It's a great point that is this obligatory for them? But then I would say that they have made the commitment to making some cool high-performance hybrids like the BMW i8. And even the i3, while not exactly, you know, blistering, is definitely like a commitment to develop a dedicated vehicle. You know, I would say they're learning lessons here that will then sort of transcend to other cars.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years down the line, other automakers are going to have to jump on the whole fully electrified too to eventually meet CAFE standards. And so what you'll see is mild hybrid systems make their way into plenty of cars. Like the new Jeep Wrangler is going to have, you know, a built-in mild e-assist hybrid for the turbocharged 4-cylinder engine. So this mild hybrid integration is going to make its way a lot of places. And, you know, steps like this to sort of normalize it you know, I think that these cars work great because all of these systems are working together to achieve performance in different driving conditions.
I agree with that. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to purposely, when I'm at the thermal racetrack in, well, outside of Palm Springs next week, I'm going to purposely drive this around the track and see if it still delivers on all of BMW's The Ultimate Driving Machine as a hybrid. Because typically, it's like when I think of hybrid, I think of, you know, the Prius and other vehicles in that ilk that are more just like a refrigerator or a toaster or, appliance cars. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
But the car that changed that for me was, like, I want to say like 3 or 4 years back, the Infiniti M35 or 45 hybrid,
mm-hmm.
you know, before they changed the names and ruined everything. it was the first time I drove a hybrid that had the V6, had the electric assist. Instead of going for saving fuel, which it did a little bit, they went for combining the two to get more acceleration. And that sort of opened my eyes to the notion that these things can be used for just as much fun as they can for efficiency and environmental consciousness.
Yeah. Environmental consciousness. Something that I don't think too much about, but I, again, am the guy, the reason why they have to have cars like this. Because they have to, that's the CAFE standard you're talking about. Guys like me make them build cars like this because otherwise, you know, oh my God. Anyway. All right, George, thank you, brother. I'll drive this 5 Series BMW plug-in hybrid around the racetrack and let you know how it does. They say, and, you know, it's relatively true, that they are the ultimate driving machine. BMWs have done a fantastic job of delivering on that promise for many, 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 many years. All right, George Kennedy, you can find him at cargurus.com, boston.com, in the cars section, and usnews.com, cars-trucks, best cars blog. George Kennedy, just look for him. George Kennedy III. Thank you, George. We'll be right back. More of The Drive right after this.
Oh, wow, man.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So the other day I was at the airport and a buddy of mine was like, man, we got stranded because of the weather. It's like I couldn't get a rental car. Everybody else had already thought about that. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be great if you could just drive somebody's car that needs to be delivered, you know, from one side of the country to the other, whatever it is. I'm sure they have services for that, but I have a company here that does something that is kind of interesting, and I thought we should talk about it because it's along that same exact theme. Mark Gorlin is here. He's a founder and CEO of a company called Roadie, Roadie.com. Mark, give us your story. What the heck is Roadie?
Roadie is an app that allows people to make money by doing what they're already doing anyway. Like your story. It's people that are heading in one direction. It matches up people or businesses or retailers with stuff to send with drivers that are already there and heading back to their neighborhood or wherever that thing needs to go. Your example at the airport's interesting because we deliver bags for Delta Airlines from the airport back out into the neighborhoods and communities where everybody who's already at the airport is leaving to go. So it happens all the time.
Wow. So explain how this app works in, because, I mean, I'm one of those drivers. I'm one of those roadies that is always going somewhere. I mean, I could actually potentially make some money, is what you're saying?
You absolutely could. People put gigs up into the app, which is you can get on the iPhone or Android. You see gigs, and we actually alert people for gigs close to you. You choose how big of an item you could deliver, whether it's a couch or it's a laptop. And you'll get alerted and say, hey, do you want to make $15 on your morning commute going there anyway? Do you want to make another $80 when you go down to the beach later this weekend with your family because somebody forgot their golf clubs, whatever it happens to be, shows up, you can offer to do it, and then the senders have the choice of picking you or not picking you, depending on, you know, what's convenient for them as far as when they need to send the item.
I love this.
But it was my own personal story that started the thing. I had the same problem that I'm trying to help solve for everybody else.
I think this is brilliant. Tell me your story then.
So I live in Atlanta, and I had a condo down the coast of Florida in Perdido Key, and the guy that built the condo, the developer, didn't put pans underneath the master bathroom shower in this development. So somebody's had leaked into 6 units. It was a huge pain. And then everybody had to pull out their bathroom. So I decided to make mine nicer and put up tile. So it was a Thursday in February. I'm heading down tile day, have lunch in Montgomery, Alabama, get back in my truck, and I get a phone call from Glenn, who's a tile guy. Now, Glenn's from UCLA, which is not out there on the West Coast near you. It's the upper corner of lower Alabama.
Right.
And he doesn't talk like either you nor me. And the call literally goes like this. He's like, "Hey, Mark, this is Glenn. That bullnose tile done shown up broken as shiznit."
Right.
He said, "Ain't going to be here till overnight delivery, which is on Monday."
Oh, no.
So, first of all, overnight delivery is Friday, not Monday.
Right.
But I'm going to get nowhere with Glenn. So I said, "Glenn, where is the tile?" He said, "It's in Birmingham, which is an hour and a half north of Montgomery, Alabama." So I said, "Find out for sure." I hang up, sitting at the overpass of I-65 in Montgomery, Alabama. I look left and see all these cars going south. I look right and see all these cars going north, much like your driver's seat right now. And I thought, you know, there is bound to be somebody leaving Birmingham right now, heading to Montgomery. And if I just knew who they were, surely they'd throw a box of tile in their trunk. I'd give them 20 bucks. They're going there anyway. There's probably someone leaving Birmingham going all the way down to Florida, and I could be like, have a cocktail in my hand by the time they get down there. And that's when it hit me that there's this unbelievable transportation heat map out there, a natural resource of all of us, 250 million regular people that drive every day with a billion cubic feet of extra space to put things in every day.
Right.
More vehicles than UPS, FedEx, and USPS combined. And then you can help somebody out by making money by doing what you're doing anyway.
So necessity becomes the mother of invention once again. I love it.
Absolutely.
So now what about tracking? How do you track where you're parked? I mean, because if you send UPS or FedEx or, you know, you can track it. Does your app have that capability?
Absolutely. I mean, it's literally the best tracking that you could find because unlike, you know, you think about like the Comcast guy who's going to conveniently get to your place between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. and you have no idea. In this case, when you're sending a gig, the recipient gets a text where you can track your road. You can literally see your couch or your laptop coming down the street to your house, and you can be in communication with the driver who's delivering it to you. So it is one of the most transparent forms of delivery around. And then if you're going to be at somewhere else, you can meet up. We actually, I don't think you have Waffle House. Is that where you are? But we have a deal with Waffle House, which is the comfort food icon of sort of the Southeast with 1,800 locations.
Where I love
if you meet up at a Waffle House, you get a free waffle and a cup of coffee just for stopping by and meeting somebody up. Because it's very much, it's not just a delivery app, Alan, it's a community app. It's people helping one another out and getting a little something for going and doing what they were already going to do anyway.
How long have you been doing this?
So we launched the app at the beginning of 2015 and started acquiring drivers because you're not a great delivery service if you don't have a lot of active engaged drivers. And we've got nearly 60,000 drivers across the country that are registered with us, and we deliver everything for stuff for major home improvement retailers, airlines, regular bakeries and printers in small towns, and a baby crib to your sister two states away, and everything in between.
Now,
the stories of stuff that have gone through the app is pretty entertaining. We've had people fall in love, and we've had some really interesting breakup stories.
Okay, that's great. We're talking with the founder and CEO of an app called Roadie, roadie.com, if you want to find out more about it. Here's a chance. And I found this guy through Entrepreneur, believe it or not, Entrepreneur Magazine. I do the radio show, Entrepreneur Weekly. You can hear, we're going to do an interview for that show too, because this is an awesome opportunity for entrepreneurs, people that are on the road a lot, that want to turn that extra, you know, time on the road into some extra money. Roadie.com, Mark Gorlin. What about insurance? I mean, is the product insured in some way?
It absolutely is. Every time you send something through the platform, you get $500 worth of insurance, which is five times more than you'd get with the traditional carriers. And beyond that, UPS is actually an investor in Roadie.
Come
on. And UPS Capital provides insurance. If you want to take it from $500 all the way up to $10,000, you can do that. So everything that goes through the Roadie community has the same protection as if you'd insured it with UPS themselves.
That is awesome. Roadie.com. Hang on. We're going to, just in case people are listening and they're like, I want to know, what does it take for me to become a delivery driver in my own car when I'm going somewhere through Roadie.com? We're going to take five more minutes with you on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Drive. Now you can turn your drive into some money.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. With Haynes Manual Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes online manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show is brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals. They are the information resource for the DIY enthusiast, the guy that does it himself, and the worldwide leader of automotive and motorcycle repair information for over 50 years. Haynes, HAYNES.com. Interesting opportunity here for people that are entrepreneurial, that are driving a lot, that have that long commute. Mark Gorlin is the founder and CEO of Roadie, Roadie.com. It's a app-based shipping community. He launched the company in 2015. They have nearly 50,000 drivers nationwide now delivering other people's shiznit?
We have nearly 60,000 drivers nationwide delivering all kinds of shiznit.
That's great. And earning money. Okay, so you said you had stories, and during the commercial break I thought about it. What was your, like, one of your favorite stories? And then we want to tell people how they, you know, what does it take to become a, in essence, a delivery driver for Roadie, which I think is great. Go ahead.
There's all kinds of stories in here. We've had drivers fall in love, which is sort of the Roadie Tinder sort of combination breakups. But one that always sticks in my mind is it popped up. Someone needed to ship a 7-foot-tall Jar Jar Binks statue from Star Wars from Las Vegas to Santa Monica, California.
Right.
Because who really doesn't need one 7-foot-tall Jar Jar Binks statue?
It was going to cost...
In the thousands through regular freight providers, they posted it up there. The next day, someone was heading from Vegas that way, put it in their vehicle, and got it there for nearly 30% of what the cost would have been without having to package it up and wait weeks to do it.
Right.
So the idea of we roadied a 7-foot-tall Jar Jar Binks from Vegas to California is among my favorites.
That's awesome. Now, let's get down to brass tacks. For those who are listening, by the way, you guys, I also do a radio show for Entrepreneur Magazine. That's how we came across Mark Gorlin here, founder and CEO of Roadie. I said, this is perfect for my audience because they're driving their cars. Most, you know, that's, you guys are probably listening in your cars driving along. But if you're listening to the show, you probably own a car, you probably love your car, and you probably might want to make some extra money with your car. How does a person sign up, become one of your drivers or what are deliverers?
Easy, super, super easy. So if you have an iPhone, you go to the App Store. If you have an Android device, you go to Google Play and download Roadie, R-O-A-D-I-E.
Right.
It might come up under Roadie Delivery. And you need to sign up as a driver. So go through the flow and sign up by putting in your name, address, your social security number. You'll ask for your bank account information because you get paid instantly into your bank account when you deliver a gig.
Yeah.
as soon as you download the app, there's a map there, and you can see gigs all over the country. And those that you're seeing are just the ones that are available at that very moment. There's plenty that are moving around that you just don't see.
God, I love this. I tell you, I'm going to go download the app myself. Imagine this, you know, Alan Taylor talking about on the radio. Next thing you know, Alan Taylor's delivery, man. I got a whole delivery service in my Dodge Demon, by the way. It'll get there fast. Oh, that is awesome. So how are you doing with the business? Is it doing pretty well? I mean, obviously, you've got some good partnerships. You said who did you guys partner with?
We've partnered with a lot of folks. We deliver for Delta Airlines in over 34 cities. Soon to be a whole lot more than that. We are working with other airlines as well. And we've signed and started delivering for, although have not announced, for some major home improvement retailers in the country. We deliver for Kroger. We deliver for all kinds of folks that you know and you don't know.
Right.
And the great thing about Roadie is it's not like these services where they have to go to NFL cities to survive. There are communities around grocery stores and any kind of retailer in any small community that could be Roadie drivers and allow the service. And the fact that we're in Atlanta and in Charlotte means every town in between has the ability to get things delivered in a speed that is sort of unprecedented. We had somebody that wanted to send a couch to her daughter up at the University of South Carolina, posted a gig at 10 a.m. on a Saturday. Someone happened to be going up there with a trailer. It was on the trailer by 11, and it was there 3 hours later. There's no faster delivery service on the planet than someone who is already heading in the direction that your stuff needs to go.
I love this. Mark Gorlin, founder and CEO, Roadie.com. It's Roadie.com. Photographic chain of custody, real-time tracking, and security code delivery confirmation. Goods are automatically protected up to $500 with an option to purchase an additional coverage up to $10,000. This is an entrepreneur's dream come true that is a car guy. I am a car guy. My listeners mostly are guys and gals. Mark, we're going to have you on Entrepreneur Radio, Entrepreneur Weekly, it's called. You can find that at entrepreneur.com. I'm Alan Taylor. That is about it for this hour. There is some news and then more of this shiznit. We will be back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, so we're going to jump right in it. Everything from NASCAR this weekend, Atlanta Motor Speedway last weekend, Daytona. And Stephen Cole Smith is going to talk about that and his real-world test drive of the new Ferrari Portofino, which is also available at Automobile Magazine, automobilemag.com. Steve, can we just start out with a little bit of NASCAR talk? Weather's not so good for this weekend, but maybe you could give us an update on what went down last week.
Man, it was an interesting Daytona 500, Alan. It's always such a weird artificial thing that NASCAR plays its Super Bowl the first game of the year, that, you know, by the time they get around to Homestead 36 weeks later down in South Florida, it's almost anticlimactic that the biggest race of the year is the first race. And I don't know anybody that does that except, well, NASCAR-owned IMSA, which does a 24-hour of Daytona, and then the Sebring 12-hour. The first two races are the big races. But the idea that they peak that early is, I guess it's good in the sense that they're trying to generate enthusiasm for the rest of the year, and it's bad in the sense that they've got to generate enthusiasm for the rest of the year because things are not looking that good for NASCAR right now. as you know, they've lost a whole bunch of people, everybody from Dale Jr. This was Danica's last race ever in NASCAR, and boy, she went out with a whimper. Yeah. Carl Edwards is gone. Jeff Gordon's gone. Greg Biffle's gone. So many people have retired. Jimmy Johnson's probably next, leaving stars of tomorrow like Alex Bowman, Cole Whitt, Harrison Rhodes, let's see, Chris Buescher, Micah McDowell, Matt DiBenedetto, Greg Galding, William Byron. I mean, these are names that are clearly a household name somewhere. But if you've heard of Ross Chastain, I'll send you $10 right now if you can tell me what car Ross Chastain is driving this weekend.
What's Fingernail Eddie driving? I don't know. Long Nose Larry.
It's a lot of guys who are basically unknowns.
Yeah, right.
The good news out of Daytona, we got a new star, and that is Darryl Bubba Wallace, who's the first black guy. Well, he's half black, but he's the first black guy, I guess, or African American, to really have a full-time NASCAR ride since Wendell Scott did it back in the 60s. Of course, the movie that Richard Pryor did, Grease Lightning, was about his life. He finally made the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. He won one race, and even that was protested. Mm. But it wasn't the fact that he won a race. It was the fact that he was out there in a completely different from the way it is now, a racial environment, plugging away every week. And I got to tell you, people talk about NASCAR being redneck, but I got to hand it to the Hall of Fame committee. Some guys on there that you would think were pretty redneck were so adamant that they get Wendell Scott in just because of what he did that it made me proud. And the way that the NASCAR community has just went out of its way to cheer on Bubba Wallace after a second-place finish in the Daytona 500 and really his first race in the full season. He's never had a full run in the Cup Series. It just does my heart good. I mean, I drove all around the Daytona infield. I'm from the South. I don't have any problems with the Confederate flag, but I guess for business, it's a good thing to not have it. And I didn't see any in the Daytona 500 infield. Of course, I did see one great big sign that for women that show us your you know what's for beer, and it was very helpful because it said show us your you know what's, and it had the female for a woman there. The little what's a little round circle with a little thing, you know, a little cross underneath, which was helpful because I guess they had been having men come up and misread it and showing their bosoms expecting beer. Didn't work out for them very well, but there's still a pretty classy bunch of people in the infield of Daytona. But I'll tell you one thing I really noticed, I've never seen so little drivers' T-shirts or drivers' banners in there. It was generic. I saw one Brad Keselowski banner. Yeah. Everything else was for Ford or for Coca-Cola or for something like that.
Right.
It wasn't for particular drivers. The drivers are just not connecting yet with the fan base. If that doesn't happen soon, this NASCAR race was the lowest-rated Daytona 500 in history.
Oh.
Even though it was a pretty good race, even though...
Well, hold on. I want to hear about the race. I got to take a break.
Man, you're always throwing commercials in on me.
Do not show us
I
your
get
you
a
know
roll, and next thing I know...
Stephen Cole Smith, we're going to be right back with more. This is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires that you can count on when it matters most. Bridgestone.
Hey, I gotta ask you something.
Yeah. Stephen Cole Smith with us.
Driving the Demon to the New York Auto Show.
Am I driving?
Or is it Kelly Lee Show?
No. It's Kelly and Ryan Seacrest on ABC. Regis not on it. Neither is Kelly or what'd you say? Kelly Lee,
Kathy. Yeah, that's what the show is.
You're confusing.
Yeah. I love it, man.
Wait a minute.
Regis is hilarious, but you're driving your demon out there.
I'm not. I'm flying. That's too far.
Man,
you were just finishing telling us about NASCAR and how the numbers were the worst in a long time, and I had to cut you off because of commercial. Let's get back to
Daytona. By the way, your demon has about 240 more horsepower than the fastest car in the Daytona 500.
Seriously? Oh, my.
Just throwing that out there.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the restrictor plates.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I had a Hellcat, and I had 100 more horsepower.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah,
really is. And maybe that's part of the problem. I mean, I think there's been a disconnect. First of all, you said it on the other side of the break, a lot of our what we'll call stars are no longer involved, no longer racing. There's a disconnect, and I think the price that they charge for this stuff has gotten out of control. You know, a beer and a hot dog cost you as much as a really good lobster dinner. So, I think that they're blowing it, and I don't know how they can turn it around. Do you, Steve?
I don't know, man. I am absolutely right there with you. They keep saying there are circumstances beyond their control, such as the attention span is no longer there.
Oh, BS.
Kids have, electronics that they can play with, that our young people are not connected with cars as much. But, I mean, still the Daytona 500 was sold out. They sold 100,000 tickets plus the infield. They made money. They didn't lose anything. But as you know, for a race like this weekend, Atlanta, which is not close to being a sold-out deal, and they don't have that many seats, it's the TV money, the TV revenue that keeps them going and keeps, Ford, Chevrolet, and Toyota coming back and sponsors coming back. And the TV numbers, like I said, were the lowest in recorded history, even though it was on Fox and it was a beautiful day and, there really wasn't that much else on television. I guess they'd start the Olympics by then, but I don't watch them because curling to me is I love curling because apparently all you do is like get on your knees and then try to fix your fellow teammates' mistakes by sweeping stuff. I would love to somewhere the inventor of curling is laughing his ass off from up above going, I cannot believe
this
that caught
is
on
the Olympics. I know. The best one on the internet is the people that are doing it with cats. Have you seen that? They slide their
Trump's head, but I didn't see
Oh man.
Exactly. Like the only sport you and I could ever do.
I know. I'm gonna become an Olympian.
Yeah, I mean, I can't skate, but I could learn to do that.
Right.
I can sweep. I never do, but I could learn to sweep. If you looked at the house, you could tell I need to learn to sweep.
Yeah, right.
One thing we were talking about off the air. The feel for the Daytona 500 has always been huge. You used to have 43 cars. Now they have 40. But there used to be 20 extra cars that were trying to get in because back when NASCAR told us what the purse money was, that was up until about 3 years ago, last place in the Daytona 500 paid about $250,000. So it was worth trying to cobble together a car and race it in during the twin 125s, which are now 150s on Thursday, to get a starting spot. Well, this year they had 40 slots. They had 40 cars. This weekend they got 40 slots. At Atlanta, they got 36 cars.
Oh, boy.
Where is everybody? Yeah. I mean, if NASCAR competitors can't get excited enough to want to be in the field, and I love hearing the NASCAR apologists say, well, that's not a big deal. They're really going in that direction. It actually improves the show. And I go, no, there's no way that you can put 8 guys on a baseball team and tell me it's better than 9 or 7 guys or however many guys are on a basketball court. What is it, 5? You put 3 out there and tell me that's going to improve the show. I'm sorry.
It doesn't. Right. You are on fire today. I don't know what's going on with you.
I don't know.
All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. I want to hear about this Ferrari Portofino. I have only driven a couple Ferraris in my whole life. I guess I'm a little more of a muscle car guy. Our show, speaking of such, is brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. This is The Drive. Like, look us up on Facebook, The Drive with Alan Taylor, not The Other Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Craftsman is celebrating over 90 years of innovation. Since 1927, they've put hardworking tools into the hands of makers and mechanics. I've had Craftsman tools in my garage for decades, so I know firsthand that Craftsman comprehensive automotive tools and garage storage solutions will help you tackle your next project with confidence, whether you be a shade tree mechanic or a certified pro. So visit your local Ace Hardware or check out Craftsman.com to shop the latest hand tools, power tools, lawn and garden equipment, smart products, storage solutions, and a whole lot more. That's Craftsman.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Brembo brakes. You'll see them on most race cars. Stephen Cole Smith is joining us, automotive journalist. You can find his story if you want to follow this story about the Ferrari Portofino. You can find that at automobilemag.com for Automobile Magazine. That's where he wrote it. It's up there right now, Steve, right?
It is indeed, yes.
Okay. But are we done with the motorsport stuff? I know it seems like there was some tire problems in another race series.
Yeah, one interesting thing, if people watch the 24 hours of Daytona, the Rolex 24 hours, the real takeaway from that was they had so many tire problems. This is Continental's last year. The defending champion, the number 10 car, a Wayne Taylor car, actually parked the car because they kept blowing tires out, and Continental couldn't tell them why. So they said, I'm not going back out there. And, you know, there's rumor that one reason they were blowing tires is because Continental used tires that were a year old because they didn't get used the year before because it was raining so much and they ran treaded tires. But whether or not they brought Euro tires or not to Daytona, I don't know. But the bottom line is they're testing at Sebring this week, and they have brand new tires for the prototype of the GT car. So whatever went wrong at Daytona, it shouldn't happen at Sebring. So that's really the only other big car news that's motorsports news that's out there right now. And even that's kind of an inside baseball thing. But, man, I had never seen that many tire problems at a race since the Formula One race at Indy that was really so horrible.
Mm. Well, anyway, for those racing fans, I'm sorry because, unfortunately, I don't think it is the way it used to be for most of us. I personally, I've spent the last 5 years not giving a damn. Honestly, it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. So now I'm going out and having my own fun racing and doing crazy things.
Well, you're just part of the problem, Alan Taylor.
I know. I hate to tell you. It's a sad truth.
Unfortunately, so am I, because even though I cover it, sitting down and watching the second Pocono race of the year start to finish, it ain't going to happen.
By the way,
the
race that's in Atlanta tomorrow, what's it called? Atlanta Motorsport?
The 59th annual Foals of Glory Quick Trip 500. Foals of Glory is a military thing that benefits them, and Quick Trip is like 7-Eleven, but it's not.
Hmm. Well, God bless those for at least trying to make some awareness out of something that probably would have had the no-name race at Atlanta Motor Speedway otherwise.
Yeah, well, so hardly anything is no-name anymore. They'd rather throw a charity in there and take the write-off.
Yeah.
Than, they just have the Pocono 500, which they actually have had a few times because that's a hard race to sponsor. But weather not looking good for tomorrow, car count not looking good for tomorrow, but the track is worn out. It needs to be repaved, but that makes for some pretty good racing. The cars are going to slip and slide, especially if it's raining. Of course, they won't let them run then, but that track doesn't want to dry out because it's so old and cracked. It's really easy to get watered out in it. So it could be a long day tomorrow in Atlanta.
There you go. All right.
And 100% chance of rain on Monday. So if they want to run it then, that probably ain't going to happen either.
But like I said, I'm
just full of good news today.
Right.
About
I'm not sorry.
Yeah,
we just go out. I think more of us should get back into the grassroots stuff and start racing ourselves. That's what I want to do.
And absolutely. And when you take that demon to the drag strip, I volunteer.
There you go. I'm going to race Carl Brower.
I'm so envious, man. You've got the car that if I could, including, I mean, I love this Ferrari Portofino. It's really nice. It's pretty. It's fast. It starts every time, which you couldn't say about Ferraris 20 years ago.
Right.
But, man, I think I would take your car if I had my choice of anything out there to drive every day for the rest of my life. I'm taking your car.
You know what's funny is I had a person try and slam me because, you know, we all have our haters and I have a lot of them. But that's
forward
okay.
them. Forward them to me, man. I am ready for that guy, whoever it is.
And he was trying to make fun of me by the fact that I have a Dodge Demon. And I thought to myself, their slogan is, if you know, you know. And I totally get it now that I've driven one and I own one. And I thought to myself, isn't that funny that somebody, you know, that is a not a Ferrari person, not a Porsche person, a person trying to make fun of Alan Taylor, the car guy, that truthfully, I mean, more guys like you have said those exact words to me. I'm jealous of the fact that it's a Dodge Challenger, for goodness sakes, but it's an 840 horsepower Dodge Challenger.
Man.
You know?
And, I mean, the only criticism that you could for a second consider is that, it, you know, Dodge goes fast in a straight line, but unlike the top-level Mustang and Camaro, it's not that great on a road course. Well, that is exactly the point. Dodge said, hey, you've got the Mustang and the Camaro. We want to go fast in a straight line. They can't touch us. It's a different kind of motorsports. It's more accessible. I mean, I can name you 10 drag strips that I could run at this weekend in Florida if I wanted.
$20.
There's not a single road course anywhere. Yeah. If I wanted to take a car out to the track, it's going to be a drag strip.
Yeah,
car. So, you know, it's a different car than like a Z01 Camaro or a Mustang a Laguna Seca or something like that. It's just a different kind of car, and to me it's that much more fun of a car. And like I said, I had the Hellcat for Daytona 500 weekend, and even at 707 horsepower, man, if I couldn't have your car, I'd take that car.
Yeah, I know.
It was a Charger, a nice trunk, rear seats are comfortable. It would idle and stop and go traffic at a Daytona without overheating. What's not to like, man?
Know,
what is not to like about this is the golden years. These are the golden years. We look at, you know, the 60s and the 70s, and, man, I love my 73 Roadrunner, but I couldn't keep a clutch in it. But right now, I mean,
I agree. It is the golden age, and we're going to get run over. Don't go anywhere. We're going to hear about this Portofino Ferrari in the next segment. Steve's
all right,
on fire
I'll
today.
I promise I'll talk about the Ferrari.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
So our show is sponsored by Subaru, which is another one of our great sponsors. It's their 50th anniversary. They've had like 10 years, year-over-year growth. You know why? Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Just ask somebody that owns them. They love them. That's why they're doing so good. They make great cars, and their customers love them. I love that.
Well, if I could have a Demon, I'd take a Subaru.
There you go. Stephen Cole Smith is with us. In Automobile Magazine at automobilemag.com, you can find his story. He is literally just back from driving the Ferrari Portofino in somewhere in Italy or something, huh, Steve?
Yeah. Normally when you go drive Ferraris in Italy, you go somewhere around Maranello, which is a beautiful place. It's where the factory is. It's where the test track is. And there's plenty of great roads around there, but we didn't this time. We went down to, if you're picturing the boot of Italy, we were on the back of the heel. And you would think if you're going to drive the Portofino, and Portofino is the name of a little fishing village that is now very trendy on the Italian Riviera, on the north side of Italy, up on the Mediterranean, that we'd probably go there, but they figured it was going to be too cold because Italy, you know, is a pretty long country. It's like 400 miles from there down to where we were. Unfortunately, it was still wet and it was still kind of chilly. But like I said in the story, Enzo Ferrari has been dead for a long time, but apparently still runs Italy because the morning of our drive, the sun just popped out, the clouds parted, and as soon as we were through, it started raining again. So it was a fun drive. The Portofino replaces the California T, which is the entry-level Ferrari, entry-level being $214,000, so it's entry-level only if you are a highly paid radio talk show host, not a humble journalist living in a jungle in the middle of Florida where I can only hope to talk to people who have things like demons once in a while. But it's a great car. It's a lot of fun to drive. It's a retractable hardtop. It's only automatic. The California was the last Ferrari that had a manual transmission available, and that went away. And when I asked the guys, what's the future of a manual transmission at Ferrari, they just looked at me as if I was inquiring about a family pet that had been on its deathbed and had finally died that was replaced by a robot. So now it's a seven-speed manumatic, and it's a fantastic transmission, but it's not a manual. It's not going to be a manual. Get over it. If you want a manual, get a Miata.
Or a 2017 Dodge Viper, which I don't know if they call them Dodge, Viper ACR, which I have, which is a manual, and you know, and then I have the Demon, which is an automatic.
Oh,
I like
hate
them
you
both.
Even more. Just stop all your head, man. Quit telling me all this stuff, all these toys you've got.
Well, you
I
know.
I mean, the Viper, since day one, I've loved that car, back when nobody else wanted it. I thought I could just sit and drive this thing for a long, long time.
I know. So let me ask you then, you're out there in Italy. You're driving around in this Ferrari Portofino. What was the one thing that you walked away with? In other words, you get out of the car. Did you turn around and go, I really like the tail end of that car. I really like the way that car sits. Or I really wish it didn't have such a tight cockpit. Or was there one thing, good or bad, that you walked away each time going, you know, I liked it or I didn't like it or whatever, you know, whatever that thing was that made you think over and over again?
It's a good thing, and it's gotten better and better and better. And it's the fact that when I started this business, a Ferrari was a car that you drove on weekends and then took it into the shop on Monday to have fixed whatever you broke over the weekend and hopefully had it ready by Friday. No longer. I mean, the interior of the Portofino is, I think, the nicest I've ever seen in a Ferrari.
Wow.
Even though it's by no means the most expensive car, everything that you need is pretty accessible right there, easy to find, plenty of room. This is a car you can drive every day. It had no bad habits. It was not that hard to get in and out of. You can get in the back seat only by lowering the top, and I said in the story that the back seat was only good if you're taking Peter Dinklage to the Oscars, and that they took that out. I guess they didn't know who Peter Dinklage was or
of your story,
thought that he would be offended by the fact he's 3 feet tall, but I think he probably knows that. Anyway, it's got a back seat, which is good for groceries, and I guess you could put a couple of short people back there briefly if they wanted to ride in a Ferrari bad enough. There's no way around that, I mean, because it's a Ferrari. It's not going to have four full passenger seating in a roadster like this. And, there is a bigger Ferrari, and, there is a Ferrari SUV coming if you want a back seat, but this car is not the one. This car, Ferrari only sells about 8,500 cars a year, which, to me, I can never do the math and figure out how they're making money. And while they don't give out numbers since they've gone public, this car will figure in about a third of those cars. So it's really important. And a huge percentage, something like 70%, this is the first new Ferrari the customers are going to buy. So hopefully they'll snag them with the cheap $214,000 car and then move them on up to stuff that's closer to $500,000. And for that, it does a great job. It looks like a Ferrari. It is a Ferrari. It has a twin-turbo V8 engine, so when you turbocharge a V8, it doesn't have that snarl that Ferraris have, which I love, and it doesn't have it anymore, and the sound is invigorating, but it's not exciting. If there's anything that I don't like about the car, it's that, and there's no way around it. Turbocharging is a way to go for fuel mileage and for pollution, so Lamborghini's figured it out. Everybody's doing it except for Dodge, and you've still got the V8 sound with your car, but you don't really have it with a Ferrari anymore.
Well, supercharged. Mine is supercharged. I love the crazy whine that it makes, you know? Yeah, wow. Well, so...
But you run, you know, superchargers usually run by a belt or a gear, but turbochargers run off the exhaust gas, which, you know, right then it's going to change the exhaust sound because you're using exhaust gas to spin the turbocharger. Yeah. So there's no way to make them sound like a car that's not turbocharged unless you just run a soundtrack and play it through the stereo, which we're really not that far away from.
No, I know. Well, listen, the whole story can be found at automobilemag.com. The Ferrari Portofino, a mere $214,000. And this is one, you know, at that price, geez, I might trade the old Viper in on it. I don't know. I think I like my Viper.
You look great in a Portofino, but it's just, you know, you got to suck up on the gold necklaces.
Yeah, I know. I know. And the hairy chest.
Oh, like you don't use those for a Viper. What am I thinking?
Yeah, right. Stephen Cole Smith, thank you, sir. You're the best. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
AutomobileMag.com, Ferrari Portofino, the story by Stephen Cole Smith. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with more of The Drive. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I go from one great friend to another. Next guest up, he's not really a guest, he's my friend, John Ellis. The man who can see around the corner in the world of transportation. He's going to help us to understand what the hell is going on. He is the author of the book, Zero Dollar Car. Sorry, I got that wrong. He was on the Today Show a couple weeks ago about his $0 car. Give me 1 minute on $0 car so I don't have to explain it to everybody. What is it?
Imagine a world where the value of data is more valuable than the car itself. There are people and companies who would buy that data, and in so buying that data yields you, in essence, a $0 car.
I love it. So he's on the Today Show. He doesn't bother calling me. He's expecting me to watch the Today Show, which I don't do. It's on the wrong network, if you know what I mean. Point is that I am proud of you for being on the Today Show. I'm proud of you for writing this story. I'm proud of you for everything you've done, John Ellis. You're a good man. Ellis and Associates. This guy, when he speaks, the auto industry listens. And some crazy thing inside of him makes him be my friend. I don't know what it is. Everybody's warned you. I will get you in trouble. They've told you all that. It's going to happen sooner or later. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm a bad decision maker, and you know that, so that's what we're going to play.
What is going on around the corner? I mean, what's coming to us in the world of transportation that you're telling everybody about, and they're finally starting to listen?
So in the news just in the last couple of weeks, the big topic has been data, right? And the fact that there's this growing awareness that cars generate data, super rich data, super interesting data, and that with that data you can do super interesting things, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of focus has been on that as journalists and others begin to uncover just the magnitude of what's available. And more importantly, begin to understand sort of the companies like Facebook and Google and others who are very much driven by the subsidy model, the advertising subsidy model, as they venture into the space. So that's one major theme that's, you know, probably not going to go away in anytime soon.
Okay, hold.
Okay.
The advertising subsidy model. Wow, that was a big mouthful that means a whole lot. That's that $0 car you're talking about.
It is.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in 1704, a newspaper published the very first advertisement for a piece of property in Long Island. About 25 years later, 1729, Benjamin Franklin launched a paper, the Pennsylvania Gazette in Philadelphia, and it had pages of what he termed new advertisement. And so for like 320-something years, right, the entire information economy was built and predicated on an advertising model, subsidy model. You bought a newspaper for a dollar or 50 cents, but that wasn't the real cost of the newspaper. The cost was, you know, borne by advertising. And then Google comes along and begins to show people how you can do it digitally, and Facebook, and these companies, you know, showcase how much money that they make because of advertising and the ability to deliver very curated experiences. And so the question that the book premises is, if these companies get into the automotive industry, you know, what could the benefit be to you? Would you be willing to give up even more data in return for, you know, a car that costs less than its sticker price, right? Would you trade data now as a currency?
Right.
And it's becoming very focused now on the car, because the car has such a regulated environment with contracts and everything, right? It's a real product with real data that has real implications to understanding who you are, right? Alan, you generate data all the time the way you drive, right? What can we divine from that? Where do you live? Who do you visit? Who do you hang out with? Where do you stop? What are your, you know, we can begin to really start to uncover who you really are by your movement. Mm. Maybe you're okay with it. Maybe you're not.
That's the question we try to explore. That is exactly what my proctologist told me, but they could tell me all about myself through a movement. And I said, not today, sir. Can I ask you about, have you seen what Volvo, I know, I try to be funny. The Volvo just announced this thing with a subscription. You can actually subscribe. Who else is doing this? I know Cadillac has got one going.
Cadillac's got it out there. Ford's exploring it, right? All the major car companies. I mean, Volvo's probably the furthest ahead, but Audi's got one, right? And the concept is, instead of buying a car, you buy what in essence would be a subscription, and then you get to swap vehicles out underneath it. So it sounds an awful lot like a lease model, except that in the lease model that we know traditionally, you get one car for a duration of time, that time measured in, you know, months to years, and you're responsible for repairs and for the insurance and everything else underneath it. And in the subscription model, what the OEMs are coming to realize is it's a one-stop, one-price, you know, change out the vehicle underneath it. So it's much, much more along the lines of, today I want my, you know, Ford Taurus, tomorrow I want my Lincoln Continental or my Lincoln, I want my Lincoln Navigator, right, for the Ford brand. What we haven't seen yet is a third-party company, like Acme Inc., who has all these multitudes of brands offering something very similar to that. And that's probably going to come soon. But yeah, Volvo just announced, I think they announced basically every vehicle that they now sell is available as part of this subscription model.
I'm playing this song for you, you know. I am. You got to be my
very
best
nice.
Friend, I swear. I ask you anything and you have all of the goods on it and a little bit more. John Ellis, johntellis.com on the web. John T. Ellis, Ellis & Associates. He can see around the corner in the world of transportation. Check out his book online. He's the author of The $0 Car. Would you trade your information for the use of a car? I think you're probably doing it anyway. You're just not getting the use of a car. You're having to buy it. Our information is being stolen from us. They might as well pay it for us. Or pay us for it. We'll take a little break. Come back with more of John. Don't go anywhere. He is my best friend.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Alan Taylor here, and I wanted to share the news with you about the new Haynes Manuals Online. They're the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information, and they now offer online manuals that are formatted to fit all electronic devices. With Haynes Manuals Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual, but with so many added features that help you get the job done right. I ordered one for my car and access it right through my tablet. There are now over 180 Haynes Manuals Online available, covering cars, trucks, and motorcycles. You can order yours today at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Craftsman. And Craftsman has been a long-term sponsor of our show, and I'm very proud of that. So thank you to Craftsman. John Ellis is joining us, Ellis & Associates. You know, the world is changing, everybody. The world is changing. And there are old school people out there that still think they can be the same old school way and survive. A perfect example of that is a man that I have known for 20 years at Ford Motor Company. The president of Ford Motor Company was just let go, fired, I don't know, however, somehow, for inappropriate behavior. I've been married 32 years. I've been with my wife 37 years altogether. We have four children, a grandchild on the way. I have honored my wife by trying not to be a flirtatious, crazy, silly idiot when it comes to that. I know I actually do have my boundaries. Some people, unfortunately, don't. And today, they are being targeted like crazy. And because, you know, that's what's going on. Now, I'm not saying what they have done is right or wrong. I don't know what was done, but the man lost his job over being inappropriate. Now, he apologized for whatever he did. Rajneer is his name. And I just had him on my show in January, just, you know, weeks ago. What a sweet, nice guy. Unfortunately, you have to really, really, really be careful with what you say and do in your life these days. John, you used to work at Ford Motor Company, and I know you probably know Rajneer, and now he is unemployed. It's a sad thing.
I do know him, and yeah, it's all I can say is, right, the golden rule: treat others as you want to be treated yourself, right?
Yeah, right.
And that will keep you honest.
I think it's time, though, that the world does make some changes, because it has degraded and degraded and degraded over the years. And unfortunately, you know, you watch the award ceremonies and they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's like, it's time for a little bit of a reboot. And so, sure. You know, I just thought I'd mention that. It's a big deal. But you know what? Ford Motor Company had to make a huge decision to fire their president. He's only been president like 7 months, you know, it's a huge thing. And it was like admitting that they had a problem. So I think, to Ford Motor Company's credit, They probably had to do something that was probably painful for them. So anyway, but now you're the man who sees around the corner of all things. There's a Tesla out in space going 17,000 miles an hour. I mean, this is a crazy world we live in today. I don't know what to say. You know?
It is. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm telling you, you got to give that guy credit for having some vision and shaking it up, right? I mean, talk about provocative. Because, I mean, what he needed to accomplish, and everyone does it, right?
Elon Musk, by the way.
They all put weight in, right? You have to put weight into the capsule to make the test valid. And so what better weight than to put a roadster up in space with a Starman in it, with some other things in it? I think that's pretty cool.
Gosh, I
give the guy credit.
So bizarre. China. What do you know about China? I mean, they sell a lot of cars in China.
30-something million last year, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more than America. More than America.
Almost two. Yeah, there's almost. It's either just at two times or just slightly less than two times.
I don't think we Americans even have even a clue that that's how many cars are being sold over in China. I mean, I think we think they're still doing horse and carriage over there.
No, I think China is something like 31 or 31.5, 32 million, something like that. I don't have the number at hand. But the big thing coming out of China, I mean, the huge thing coming out of China right now, probably is on two fronts. One is just this excessive and countrywide push to electric, right? So at the recent Politburo meeting, right, the five-year communist, I don't know what they call it, the meeting of the mind,
right.
They set a course and they set the date, 2030, for no combustion engine sales in China.
I can't imagine.
And 2040.
That.
I know, but by 2040, the removal of all combustion engine, including, you know, diesel and all, in the marketplace. I mean, if we haven't learned anything from China, the one thing we should learn is they don't make public statements that they're not intending to keep, and they have the political will to keep any statement that they make. So if, in fact, they go down that path, you're talking about 30 million vehicles a year being electric.
I don't know.
Based on the same sell rate.
What do you think? I mean, you know, we've only got like 30 seconds. Do you think that is actually factual, that I can't even imagine it costs less to own and operate an internal combustion engine in the long run, because people think, oh, it's electric, plug it into the wall. Well, that electricity's got to be made by, you know what I'm saying? Am I nuts? Am I crazy? Help, John, help.
All I can tell you is that that problem's being attacked on multiple fronts, including solar and others. So Right. I don't know what's going to happen.
I know you don't. We'll find out next time. I'm Alan Taylor. That's John Ellis. We'll see you next time on The Drive.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. What makes a Subaru a Subaru?